In today's world, there seems to be constant strife and turmoil. There are people who are getting engaged, maybe married, but definitely divorced with breathtaking speed. And yet today's guest has written a relationship book in which she dedicates it to her partner. And wait till you hear what she says. She says, "You have been my relationship do in a world full of relationship don'ts." We're going to find out more about this dedication in just a moment. Hello, everyone. My name is Pamela Brewer, and I am delighted to welcome you to this edition of Mind Talk. I am also pleased to introduce to you author Tamara Neal. She is the author of His and Hers Relationship Do's and Don'ts. Tamara, welcome to Mind Talk.
Oh, thank you for having me so much, Dr. Brewer. It's a pleasure to be on the show again.
Now, Tamara, what's up with your dedication? Who is this, like, phenomenal person?
Okay, well, thank you for mentioning the dedication. The phenomenal person is my husband, Mr. Freddie Neal, and he's also the guy that I went to the prom with almost 40 years ago. He's my first boyfriend. But it's a full circle relationship. So, you know, after the prom, I went on with my life, and he went on with his life. And when we came full circle, he became my dude after a lot of dumps.
Well, congratulations to him and to you. You know, as I said a moment ago, one of the things that struck me about the dedication as I looked at it versus what we hear about so often today is that people are getting together and breaking up and with life-shifting speed. And yet, that's not something that you are doing in your life right now, which is really kind of wonderful. It's almost like a breath of fresh air when you think about the challenges that many relationships have.
That's so true. That is so true. I think that there's a problem with so many breakups. I think that people have an unrealistic perception of what a relationship is, and I think that perhaps social media has a lot to do with it. You know, because everybody puts the representative out there on social media.
Right.
So the expectations are for the person to be the dream come true. And it's not when those expectations are not realistic in a real world. So we fall for a lot of things. And then when we get to see that real person, you know, it's something totally different. We've been had. Bamboozled.
And we're upset.
Yes, we're upset.
Before we get into relationship do's and don'ts, I want to ask you just for a moment about you. You were once a 911 operator, and during that part of your life, trauma and drama was at the end of potentially every call, every minute of every shift. How did you deal with that?
Well, that's a good question. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. But when you ask how did I deal with it, you mean how did I deal with it on a call-to-call basis, or how did I deal with it just doing it, period?
How did you deal with it just doing it, period? I mean, you know, a lot of people, they go to work and maybe there's a little upset that day, but, you know, for the most part, it's just work. But for you, it was crisis and challenge all day long, every day.
Yeah. And you know what, I dealt with it, I believe, looking back at it now, by staying in the moment.
Okay.
Because you know how on the average, you know, for the average person going to work, you have things going on in your personal life while you're at home. And sometimes, in a lot of cases, you could take those things that were going on in your personal life to work with you and be perfectly okay. But for a 911 operator, for me, it wasn't possible, because me taking home to work could cost someone their life. So when I say staying in the moment, I had to erase everything that was going on in my life and around me and almost become a robot when I put that headset on, I was on.
Interesting.
So, you know, it was I had to just deal with one everything 1 second at a time, because calls came in by the second, sometime by the minute, sometime by the second.
Oh my.
So you dealt with what was going on in that moment, and what happened in the moment prior to that had to be completely erased. When I'm delivering a baby, I can't, or in the middle of an armed robbery, I can't still be in the middle of the cardiac that happened prior to that. So that was one opportunity to really learn how to stay in the moment.
How did you transition from being a 911 operator to a relationship coach and an author?
Well, I believe that an author was always in me, because I had been writing since I was old enough to pick up a pen. And even while I was a 911 operator, I was working on I was told that many years ago that I would write a book that was going to help women around the world. So I went out on this mission to write this book. I really, that's a really good question. I'm still trying to figure out how those two worlds collided. But what I used to think that I was on this mission, you know, to help women around the world. But now I realize, when I look back on it, I'm actually on a journey, and each point is just connecting to the next point. And I thought that this relationship coach saying domestic violence advocate actually came from the 911 center. But I learned more and more every day that, I mean, it came from almost my first apartment, something that was always there. I'm just constantly learning more, getting more information.
Well, let's talk now about his and hers relationship do's and don'ts. One of the things that's interesting about this book is that it's written for men and women. You know, a lot of times with relationship books, when you're looking at the content of it, it's really to help women find a way to escape from that horrible human being they were in a relationship with. But this is really for men and women. Why that decision?
Okay, well, it came about after writing my first two relationship books, and to my surprise, men, which were written for women. But men really loved those two books. So they demanded a book for men, and I always surround my books around 10 different types of relationship scenarios. So men really loved those first two relationship books, and I mean, they demanded that I write a book about 10 women. 10 women, you could say, toxic relationships or relationship issues. And I really tried to fulfill that prophecy, but I couldn't. I tried. I just couldn't think of 10 women that would be a relationship don't. But I did come up with 5.
Okay.
So, what I did, couldn't think of 10 of them, but we are in 2018, but I did come up with 5.
Okay.
You know, so that's how that came about. So I gave 5 for the men and 5 relationship scenarios for the women.
Well, let's talk about one of your very first relationship scenarios, and that's the bad girl. Tell us a little bit about the bad girl.
Well, the bad girl is that relationship where the gentleman, I always give a scenario in the book, followed by Let's Talk. But the bad girl is that relationship that a lot of men, and that was written sort of for the men, find themselves in. They meet this woman, and she's everything that the man's representative, when he may be out and about or at the club, he wants her for a good time, but he doesn't necessarily want her for a wife. But he wifes her.
Okay.
So it's not really about putting this type of woman down, but it's about knowing what you want. A lot of times there are a lot of relationships where, in that bad girl relationships, men will befriend this woman. He'll start dating her. He's head over heels about her. And then once he's in a relationship, he's not, you know, he's upset. Why do you dress like that? You know, he hates the way she dresses. He hates the way she does this. He doesn't like the fact that she doesn't cook. He doesn't like the fact that she goes out to clubs. But yet this woman was exactly that. This is the exact same person that he fell in love with or he decided to date or marry or whatever in the very beginning. So I try to draw that, you know, if that's not your cup of tea, is what I say, why are you still steeping it?
Exactly.
You know? So, you
tomorrow.
Know, you sit in there and then you try to act like this woman just pulled the wool over your eyes. Wait a minute, isn't that who you met that night at the club?
So who she is who she was.
Right. So she's being very authentic about who she is, and what you see is what you get. But the problem is he's not. But is he? Because if he asking her while he's flirting and complimenting, why are you dressed like that?
Probably not. Tomorrow, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue right where we left off. Folks, this is Pamela Brewer. You're listening to Mind Talk. We'll be back in a moment with Tamara Neal, author of Relationship Do's and Don'ts, His and Hers. It sounds like the short end of that story is, if somebody is really thrilling you in the beginning, take a look at to whether or not you can tolerate that thrill for a lifetime. And if you can, okay. If you can't, then know that.
Right. Right. It's not a relationship. It might just be a good night out on the town.
Let's talk about the narcissist in shining armor. This was a truly amusing story for me. The woman has met the man of her dreams, sort of. Mother says that he just doesn't pass the smell test, but, you know, what does mom know, right?
Right.
She moves him in, and then 6 months later, a tow truck pulls up to take his Mercedes Benz. What's that about?
Well, the narcissist in shining armor, he's very similar to he's the 2018 knight in shining armor. He basically doesn't exist. So what he does is he brings his representative in, and this guy seems like the dream come true. So if you have a dream come true, since none of us are perfect, that's something that should be a flare right there. Because none of us are perfect. We all put our best foot forward in the beginning of a relationship, because nobody's going to show you their worst side. But the narcissist, this guy, he not only puts every effort into passing the smell test. This guy smells like roses. You know, he's Mr. Perfect. He's usually an upstanding citizen. And he practices this. This is a skill. So when you ask me what is, you know, once he gets in, in many of these relationships, that narcissist will, in many cases, he may even come out of it looking like the victim.
Uh-huh.
Because he practices the deception. So I always say, get to know a person in every season before you consider them your dream come true.
So you got to tell us about the tow truck pulling up 6 months into the relationship. I mean, what's that got to do with anything?
Well, it was all a part of his game. Nothing about this man is real. He wants you to think that he's got it going on, he's financially stable, this, that, and then you find things out later. By the time it all comes to the light, when the dust settles and the smoke clears, you're wondering what you've been hit. You're wondering what's hit you. But by that time, it's almost too late. It's never too late, but you're in the relationship, and now it's time to work your way out.
So now your heart is really engaged.
Right.
And for the guy who looks like he's everything you ever hoped for, there's a tendency for many folks to really open up their heart full score. So by the time the truth starts to come out, it's really painful.
That's true. That's why I say get to know a person in every season and learn to trust your intuition, your gut, because there's always something there. If the truth be told, for the average woman that had a narcissist in her life, and I've had one, I mean, they're very common. But for the average woman, when you look back on it, in the very beginning, there was something about this guy that we didn't tell when we told the story about this guy. This great guy that we meant, oh, I'm falling in love, oh, this, that, and that. That part that you left out in the beginning is the part that you need to bring in.
Ah.
It's always something there. It's always something right there that's saying, even while you're telling the girlfriend about this guy, you deliberately leave that part out about the things that he, that you're, that part that you refuse to mention is the part that you need to look at.
And seriously look at.
And seriously look at. And you got to see him in every season, because it's very hard for a narcissist is playing a role. He's got a representative. This representative is reading a script, and he's going by that script because he wants to be this illusion that he's taking you, the illusion that he's bringing forth. But at the same time, if you catch him during one of those real moments when he has to be authentic, like maybe a death in the family or something like that, that's when you get to see that real person.
And you need to pay attention to that real person you see.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. We certainly hear about women who have, not so much men, but really women who have gotten into relationships with men who are in jail. Either they were in jail when they met them, you know, through an online something or letter writing campaign, or they were in a relationship with them and then something happened and they went to jail. So you have some things that you want folks to think about if that's the predicament they're in. What are some of those things?
Well, there's a lot of different reasons why a woman may choose to date a man that's unavailable for her. So it's sort of hard to be able to break that down in a few seconds, but you really need to look at, one, is what that person, do you know this person, one?
Okay.
Do you know them? So if this is a person that you met and this person was already incarcerated when you met him, and you hear about that a lot, you met him through fan mail or whatever, one of the things I want that person to know is, although you may know what this person has laid in a cell, when you have time to do what the narcissist does. You have time to lay back and think about everything that this person may want to hear. So when they get that few-minute phone call, know that this is something that has been thought about during the course of the whole day. Until you actually get to, you know how they say you don't know a person until you have lived with them?
Uh-huh.
How can you say you know a person? You don't even know if this man, you don't know if he has cold feet. You don't know anything about him. You don't know what type, how this person dresses. You don't know anything about this person. All you know is that phone call that you may get once or twice a day. But there are just a number of reasons why women decide to, you know, date these men that are unavailable. Some women, you'd be surprised of the women who have never received a card from a man. Well, this man sends love letters maybe once a month. You have women that have never received a love letter. And then these men, when they call, they're very attentive. Very few men are that attentive on the phone for years. They want to know, what did you do today? Where did you go? Who is that in the background? So this is attention that, for some women, they've never received.
I see.
So they're fulfilling a part of them that, you know, for these women, there are many women that have never had someone need them in this way.
And that can be very seductive to feel needed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I had to giggle a little bit when you talked about the fact that many people will say, many women will say, we all make mistakes and everybody deserves a second chance, and that's true. And but then you say, let's define the word mistake. I made a mistake and forgot to file my taxes is very different from, oops, I made a mistake and robbed a bank.
Yes.
Very different.
Yeah, so we have to look at the mistake. And then we have to look at, do I have time to, because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. So if this, I've actually interviewed a woman who she's been trying to get this man out of prison, and she's been married to him for over 20 years. He's a lifer.
Wow.
But there is a reason, and that's probably in your field, Dr. Brewer, there's a psychological reason why this person has decided to have this man. There are women that have had things happen to them in life where they don't want someone to cuddle up in bed with at night.
Mm-hmm.
But they want the relationship.
And sometimes that's an unconscious thing for
right.
folks.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very touchy subject, you know. And then you have some women that, by all means, should probably be sharing a cell with this man because they enjoyed some of the benefits.
Ah.
So, I mean, if you enjoyed the benefits, then in my book, I think, and then you didn't go to jail, maybe you should stay. Maybe you should make sure that. So there's many different reasons why you should stay, why you should go. Totally up to you in the end. But as I say, if a person, if you feed a bird that's in a cage, that bird is going to find ways to sing to you and entertain you. Now, once you open that cage, if that bird flies out, is the bird going to come back now that he can feed itself?
Uh-huh.
You know, because a lot of those men, when they get out, they say, look, I already did my time. She wants me to be a prisoner.
Uh-huh. So relationships are complicated, and it takes thought before you enter the relationship. It takes continual thought while you're in the relationship, and you have to really decide what feels good and right and respectful to you, I think is what you're saying.
That's so true. Yes, that is exactly. Yes. So there's so many different types of relationships. Of course, we have that domestic violence relationship, and a lot of men are finding themselves in that relationship now.
Absolutely.
When he must break the silence.
Tomorrow, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about relationships in which domestic violence exists, because I notice that you spend a lot of time and share a number of resources for folks who are in precisely that kind of situation. So, folks, you're listening to Mind Talk. Tamara Neal, author of His and Hers, Relationship Do's and Don'ts. We'll be back in just a moment. Tamara, in the situation where there is domestic violence, and yes, it happens to women and men, it happens more to women, but it absolutely happens to men. And a lot of times, if men are in a violent relationship, they don't want to tell anybody.
This is so true. And I think part of the reason is because it's not considered to be a very masculine thing to do.
Right.
And then you have men that are in these, and there's quite a few of them. It's really on the rise. My understanding is you become the victim or the victor. So somebody's wearing the pants in a lot of these new relationships. But a lot of times men, they go into denial about what is, I'm going to say, abuse, what is abusive. And I think we all go into denial about what is abusive, because I've interviewed and I know and I've seen many really good guys be abused in a very toxic relationship. And we don't look at some of the things, I think, a lot of times as females that are commonly done as abuse, such as if I deny you the right to see your child, if you don't do what I want you to do, if I decide I no longer want the relationship and I'm going to go on with my life, and I take your child, I take away your privilege. I not only throw you out there, but I refuse to let you see your children. That's abuse.
So clearly what you're saying is that abuse is more than the physical piece, which is what people tend to think about when they think about abuse.
Right. It's more than the physical, to threaten a person financially, to say that, you know, if you don't let me have this thing my way, you're finished. I'm going to finish you. That's a form. Can you imagine somebody telling you they're going to finish you if you don't do what they want you to do?
It's scary.
Somebody that you're in a relationship, I actually interviewed this male, and he said, could you imagine, someone actually setting you up with a child, even though that's no excuse, because, you know, there's ways that you can protect yourself.
Right.
But once that person just got pregnant, just to make sure that they were pregnant, and then when they were pregnant, they were through with you, and they're on their way to the bank.
Ah.
So, you know, it's many different forms. But a lot of times when males are being abused, they're not going to go to work and talk about it. It's just not something, they don't consider it masculine.
Right.
And the same, just like women, I mean, it's the silence is something that's very difficult to break on both sides of the fence, for a male just as well as a female.
One of the things that I was actually really pleased to see as you were talking about domestic violence in the book is specific types of safety planning that someone can go through, and some of the specific things to really think about as you are preparing to leave. And it is not simply a matter of, I'm done, I'm out of here. There's some planning that needs to go back, that needs to go into a decision to leave an abusive relationship. Tamara, tell people how they can learn more about your books and what you're doing.
Okay, well, they can learn more about my books and what I'm doing by going to my website, which is www.tamara, T as in Tom, A-M, like Mary, A-R-A, Neal, N-E-A-L, .com. So that would be the key point. I'm also on Facebook and author Tamara Neal, Twitter, and all those other online social media sites.
So you're accessible in many ways.
Very easily accessible.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Tamara Neal, author of many books, but today we were focusing on His and Hers, Relationship Do's and Don'ts. Thank you, Tamara Neal.
Thank you, Dr. Brewer. It's always a pleasure to be on the show.
And thank you for joining us on this edition of Mind Talk. Mind Talk is brought to you daily as an educational public service, and it is not intended to replace any work that you may choose to do with a medical, mental health, or other professional. Mind Talk is available on demand by going to myndtalk.org. If you have any questions or comments, or you just want to tell me where you're listening from, do send an email to me at pamela@mindtalk.org. That's P-A-M-E-L-A at mindtalk, mindtalk.org. Be sure to go to the Mind Talk homepage and sign up for the free weekly program guide and the free weekly giveaway. Each week, a Mind Talk listener is selected to receive a copy of a book of a piece of work that has been written by a Mind Talk guest. So that is mindtalk.org. And folks, remember always, if it's unacceptable, then it's unacceptable. You take care.